Lion King had an unprecedented range of toys and product tie-ins. Burger King did a nationwide promotion. Toys R Us featured 200 Lion King toys and games in a special jungle-themed display. One Wall Street analyst called The Lion King the most profitable picture in the history of Hollywood. After the opening, Katzenberg phoned Roy to congratulate him. "Thank you," Roy said, and hung up. 7. Michael Eisner had never met Senator George Mitchell, the Senate Majority Leader, when Stanley Gold introduced them at a May 1994 dinner benefit for the Irish American Fund, where Mitchell was the featured speaker. Mitchell had announced he would leave the Senate the following year, and Gold wondered to Eisner if Mitchell might make a suitable addition to the board. Gold was only half serious. Mitchell had no business experience and certainly none in the entertainment industry. But Eisner lit up at the prospect, even suggesting that Mitchell could replace Welles. In some ways, Mitchell's defects could be seen as virtues. There was no danger he'd compete with Eisner on the creative front. Litvak, his recent favorite, could handle the operational issues that Welles had taken care of, functioning more like a chief of staff. Mitchell would round out the triumvirate. Mitchell had stature. He could oversee the myriad issues on the political front that affected Disney, and he could be the company's ambassador to the world, freeing Eisner from most of those ceremonial duties. Eisner had always judged people on impulse, and he liked Mitchell. I was impressed by his quiet passion, his common sense, and his obvious decency. I especially liked the fact that he communicated such passion about the importance of ethics in public life, Eisner later wrote of his first impression of Mitchell. Eisner met with Mitchell several times to get to know him better and to air the possibility of his becoming president, but Mitchell resisted. He didn't want to leave his home on the East Coast. He stressed his lack of experience. He was planning to join a law firm in Washington, D.C., where he could stay involved in public policy issues. But Eisner persuaded him to at least join Disney's board as soon as he retired from the Senate. As the prospect of Mitchell dwindled, Eisner's thoughts turned again to his old friend Michael Ovitz. Ever since he and Welles had first tried and failed to recruit Ovitz during their first year at Disney, Eisner had periodically raised the possibility of Ovitz leaving his agency to join the company. But as Creative Artists' business had surged, the prospect of luring Ovitz had become prohibitively expensive. Recently, however, Ovitz had been expanding his activities, functioning more like an investment banker, a dealmaker, an advisor to corporate chieftains, and less as a traditional agent. His most visible roles had been as an advisor to Japan's Matsushita Electric Corporation in its acquisition of Universal, and to Sony Corporation in its acquisition of the Columbia and TriStar studios. He'd also advised Coca-Cola on branding and advertising strategy. Not that he'd given up being an agent. He still represented Hollywood's biggest writers, directors, and stars, all of which led to his being dubbed the most powerful individual in Hollywood, on the front page of the Wall Street Journal in December 1986. Eisner spent the weekend of July 12, 1994, with Joe Roth and his wife at the Eisner home in Aspen, then traveled with Roth to Pittsburgh, where his latest caravan picture for Disney, Angels